My first guest today is an inspiration. I'll let her introduce herself shortly, but what she's doing combines two great loves of mine, poetry and Australia's first languages. She's also a writer of children's books and a poet. In fact, her first anthology is about to be published by the Indigenous publishing house, Magabala Books. For the non-profit organisation, Red Room, she leads a unique initiative called Poetry in First Languages, which commissions writers and holds workshops on country with language custodians. And the idea crystallised when she was sitting on a bend on the Shoalhaven River on the south coast of New South Wales, and she heard voices speaking a language she couldn't understand. Let's meet her.
Hi, my name's Curly Saunders. Curly like curly hair, but not spelt that way. It's an Aboriginal word for a black and white bird that lives on the water. My family are Gunai people from East Gippsland in Victoria, with ties to the Mish there on Bungyanda. And then my mother was raised on Yuin country around Bega and Wollaga, and removed from there and raimed in children's homes around Gleep in Bidura and then Southern Highlands, Gunungurra country. And we lived in Gunungurra, up on Gunungurra country for the whole duration of my childhood and much into my adult life before I moved to Darawal country. So now I'm living on the coast in Wollongong. And then on my grandfather's side, we're Biripi people from around Taree and moved from there to the mission on Laparoos. So Gadigal, Darawal land. Yeah.
Well, strong ties, like many of us, strong ties with many different clans and, you know, I hate that word multi-clan, but we are a multi-clan people.
Yeah. And I mean, I found some like a nice belonging in having so many ties. I like that when I go places and often I'm meeting other First Nations people, I can say, oh, you know, this is where my family from. They're like, oh, I have a connection there, you know, an instant drawing place. Yeah.
Let's talk about, first of all, poetry in first languages, this initiative which I guess you founded. Well, you did found. Tell us about poetry in first languages and a little bit about Red Room, because there'll be some people who'll go, Red Room, what is Red Room?
Yeah, so Red Room Poetry is an organisation, a non-for-profit, that aims to make poetry a meaningful part of everyday life. So we put poets into communities, usually educational communities, in my role as manager of poetic learning, and we connect those educational communities with a poet to create and publish poems in unusual ways, and focusing on social change and meaningful engagement. And then poetry in first languages, I was writer in residence at Bundanon Trust through Red Room, and I was sitting on the banks of the Shoalhaven River and I could hear the sounds of ancestors singing and I had no idea what they were saying. So I called Auntie Trish, who's a Gunungurra custodian that I've been raised with and had the pleasure of learning from, and said, Auntie, I'm losing my mind. I can hear these voices and I don't know what they're saying. She said, well, you know, do you understand anything that they're inferencing? I'm like, no, it's all in language. She said, well, that's the answer. It's time to go and learn language. And so from there, I met with our artistic director, Dr. Tamarin Bennett at Red Room Poetry, and said, Tam, I'd love to be able to create a program that would see poets learn language with custodians, and then create and publish poems in language in that really kind of soulful, grounded, on country, connected, a stepping stone in their language journey kind of way. And she said, awesome. And then could we teach kids? And I thought, 100%, let's make an education component of this. So our poets and our custodians meet on country with school students, First Nations kids, and they sit and they learn language and write poems together. And lately we've started to turn the program into more of a conservation program. So we're teaching students about conservation of country in traditional means and then what that means for students now with an endangered or threatened species, which is what we're doing on Gunungurra country with the Office of Environment and Heritage and the local council, Wingikarabi Shire, where students wrote poems about the garal, the black cockatoo, which is a threatened species.
Tell me about your love affair with poetry. That's always, you know, as a fellow, you know, someone who loves poetry and has always loved poetry, when did you discover that love?
Yeah, so I think my love of poetry bloomed in probably year 11 and 12 when I was in high school and reading poems by dead white guys. And I liked the imagery, I liked the narrative and the story, but I just felt like my perspective or a perspective that I was familiar with wasn't shown. And so from there I started to write more and more, mostly picture books actually. I've got picture books out as well, and in writing the manuscripts for those I started with these poetic phrases and then stretched them out, and that's where my picture books have come from. And a friend sat me down, Yvette Bishoglian, who's an author, and said, Curls, those are poems that you're writing. You need to read more poets. And so, yeah, I have, and I feel really blessed at Red Room to be connected to so many so many diverse poets from so many different backgrounds, lots of language speakers, lots of poets of, yeah, diverse sexual orientations or diverse cultural ideologies, religions. It's, yeah, a really powerful space to sit. So I'm grateful for that. That's been a big blooming space for my poetry writing.
They say music is a universal language, yeah. But I tend to think that I think of poetry as being, well, poetry and music very, working on the emotional at a very deep level.
Oh, 100%. And I think that's also inherently tied. You know, people often say, how are you teaching language through poetry? And I say, well, you know, our songlines have been poems, have been songs in language. And we're just drawing on really traditional, very central parts of our identity, our ideology, and making those accessible in the classroom. So, yeah, I definitely see that synergy between songs and poems.
Manike, and, you know, particularly in the Yolngu tradition, music making, the recitation of words in our song lines and our stories.
Yeah.
Recitation was very important, a performance of poetry, if you like, was very important to us. It is very important to us.
And I think that that oral tradition of language and that how that is being performed through poetry, and poetry is the space almost for students to be able to stand and perform in language. It makes a safe buffer for students who this could be the start of their language journey. And so, you know, they might be fumbling around language words and still trying it on in their mouth. And then when they stand on a stage and they perform a poem, there's a place for them to feel confident in speaking language. The Darawal workshops that we're leading on May 7 and 8 down in Wollongong, they're working with two emerging First Nations writers. One is a songwriter and the other is a poet or a rapper, focuses more on that hip-hop spoken word kind of thing, Ethan Bell and Nicole Smead, and we'll be writing songs. And I'm so excited to see how the poems play into that, how language plays into that songwriting.
So you're also a published author.
Yeah. Actually, I'm holding in my hot little hand Kindred, which is my my poetry collection that's out in May 1 with Magabala. But my children's picture books, The Incredible Freedom Machines, came out last year with Scholastic. And, yeah, there's a few more in the pipeline already contracted. So it's exciting to see them come into fruition.
Well, your first anthology?
Yeah, my first poetry collection, yeah.
Published by Magabala. No, there's no better publisher of Indigenous work in Australia.
They're phenomenal.
Are there poems in language in that book?
Yeah, actually, I've got one. I had a really beautiful experience this weekend working with Red Room and the Whinja Caribee Reconciliation Council. And we took 100 people on country for a bushwalk, and then Aunty Trish Levitt painted everybody up in ochre. We had a smoking ceremony, and then I stood on this rocky platform and I had to kick my shoes off. I had to put the microphone down and just project out into the bushland. And I spoke on country, on Gunungurra country, in Gunungurra language, which was the first language in my learning journey that I learned. So yeah, I'd love to share a poem if that's okay.
What an unexpected surprise.
Well, you have to have a poetry offering as a poet, don't you? This one's called Disconnection. Gujiga, Nya Gamiri Nyayini Mundu. Empty spaces for Gamawang's words to fill, and stretch your guri for the piala and their voices. Nya Gamiri, trembling limbs ache to shake in Tangara, and hear your long lungs as they gasp Yungumba. Nya feel your body sands Buringiling, Yabun and secret, and know that it is being grown with roots wrenched from the Da'auri that cradled them. And Nya taste the hunger Nya Yeri do, to know the parts of yourself, to feel your wang when your dui has been taken. Little one, I see you mouth empty spaces for a mother's words to fill, and stretch your ears for the stories and their voices. I watch your trembling limbs ache to shake in dance, and hear your lungs as they gasp with songs unknown. I feel your body, sans spirit, ceremony and secret, and know that it has been grown without roots, wrenched from the earth that cradled them. And I taste the hunger you do to know the parts of yourself, to feel at home when your dreaming has been taken.
So the language Gunungurra, we're talking Gunungurra. About Blue Mountains.
Yeah, Southern Highlands. So
Southern Highlands, sorry,
Gunungurra
sorry.
Country, yeah, from
My
the Blue
apologies,
Mountains.
Southern Highlands.
Through the Barangarang down to Goulburn. Mm.
And the words, I heard a word there, Tangara.
Dance, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I actually heard a word which has particular meaning for me and I think for you too, Guri.
Yeah, the ear, yeah.
Yeah, we say, well, instead of Koori, we are Guris, where I come from, far northern New South Wales.
Yeah.
But I know that up in Wesley Enoch shared some language from Minjerriba, Stradbroke Island. And in that language, in Jandai, Binangari means no ear. It's basically someone who doesn't listen.
The one who doesn't
Binangari.
Listen. Yeah.
So I'm also interested in words that are common, words that are shared across our languages. I'm also interested in how we make different words that sound very similar, and they could be for completely opposite parts of the body. I'm really interested in the sound of our language.
Yeah, I think it's a lyrical, it's a sing-song language, isn't it? And that beautiful melody that plays out when our students are learning to speak, and, you know, Aunty Trish has taught us, we learn it slow, we speak it fast. And you can see them go from the slow breakdown of a word and then speaking it fast and hearing the melody of a word and the way that they sound. There's so much power in that connection back to identity. It's almost like they're speaking words to find a description for something they've felt for a long time but haven't had the vocal thing to express, and now they've got it. Yeah.
Wow, that must be something to see.
Yeah.
When a feeling or a, you know, we have certain words that have no translation.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I remember, the Word Up podcast so often speaks of words that have a multiple word translation. My favorite is still patua, you know. Oh, such a precious word to, and I might get this wrong, but to warm your fingers by the fire while gently squeezing the tips of someone else's. Oh, Gadigal language word. Gorgeous.
And also, I mean, you know, there's so much power in I think the reason that I started Word Up was because I felt that while I couldn't learn my language, Bundjalung, from a living speaker, I felt that I could learn more about mobs all over the country at the word level.
Yeah.
For me, it is the power of the our language. Isn't so much in being able to hold a conversation. That is beautiful if you can do that. That is beautiful if you can do that. But the poetry and the metaphor in the individual, at the word level, I find that's really compelling.
There's a Gunungara word that features in a few of my poems, Nagunagula, which is to walk together and to work together. And I think that is total essence of what it is that we're trying to get kids to do when we're teaching on country, or that idea of mirin, belonging, you know, being able to draw together connections for little people so they can find those places within themselves and on country and in a community where they settle back into that place of belonging. Yeah, and I think that's what hearing language is. That's what learning language is. Or for me, it's what it has been. Being able to understand that there is a place for me, that there is a place for us, for First Nations people, in being able to express ourselves through language, and that those avenues aren't gone. They're not closed down, that we still have roles to play in walking those journeys together, and in paving the way for our young people to be able to do it.
And going back to that story and of you being down at Bundanon and being on the Shoalhaven, that beautiful river, and hearing the voices of the ancestors, have you worked out what they were saying?
I haven't, no. So we're working with Gumia Darawal custodians, Jacob Morris and Joel Deves and Adrian Webster down there, and we'll continue that partnership. And they teach me so much every time I work with them. I guess I've got five languages that I can be learning, and so it depends where I am. I might look at the moon and be like, gosh, what's your name again here? You know, so I'm trying to, I have that same intention of sitting on country more, going deeper, spending more time listening and learning in the next couple of years as this journey unfolds for myself. Yeah.
Can we, would it be possible to get another poem from you? I don't want to miss this opportunity.
Yeah.
And so the book's called?
Kindred.
Kindred.
Yeah, Kindred. And it's out May 1. You can pre-order now online. This next one is We're at Jiribin, written on Gunungara country with Gunungara translations informed by Auntie Velma Mulcahy and Aunty Trish Levitt. The We're at Jiribin is the most knowledgeable creature on Gunungara country, and in the dreaming story of the Waratah, We're at Jiribin is the one who remembers. The lyrebird is one of my personal totems. Arise, We're at Jiribin. Tangara, your truth across the Da'auri, Mirin, Anangula, Yungumba to the Winua, which means arise, lyrebird. Dance your truth across the earth. Sing songs of the people to the sun.
Curly Saunders, the founder of the Poetry in First Languages Initiative for Red Room. And her first anthology, Kindred, is published by Magabala Books in Broome. There's a link on our website, abc.net.au/rn. Find A Way in the program menu.